Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 232.
Hello. I'm just coming off a 3-hour heady meeting, so I am somewhat energy depleted.
Yes.
But we're going to pump it up.
Yep. Fake it till you make it.
I don't need to fake it.
You're just going to do it.
I'm just going to do it. I've got a strong internal constitution and I can summon the will from whence forth.
Whoa, that sounds so impressive and slightly scary as well. And speaking of summoning scary things, it reminds me that I've started watching the new season of Stranger Things, the fourth season, so I'll be talking about that when we get into our watching suggestions.
Very nice. I won't be talking about it, but if we're talking about summoning, I'm very excited because there's a new Magic the Gathering card line coming out soon that's around Dungeons and Dragons, and summoning is a key mechanic.
Will you be getting it?
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, and then a few weeks later, they're doing a bloody Warhammer crossover. What?
It's all of the things that you love.
Wizards on the Coast, they're doing it right. I tell you what. But this is not card chat, nor is it, though we will briefly chat about Dandy Warhols. Yes. I wanted to check in with you on our Dandy Warhol and update.
If you could, yes.
I have not read any news about the Dandy Warhols this week.
Oh, there's no Dandy Warhols news?
What's going on? The pantry was not dandy. But heroin is still passé.
Right, okay.
Did you know his name's Courtney Taylor Taylor and Taylor Taylor is hyphenated? What's going on there? Let's talk about that. That's our update for this week on Dandy Warhol. And why is he Tyler Taylor?
So Taylor Taylor.
No, Taylor Taylor. Taylor Taylor.
So Taylor Taylor, hyphenated.
Yeah.
Does that indicate that his mother's maiden name was Taylor and his father's last name is Taylor? Therefore, the mother was like, nah, I still want to be represented within his last name.
Well, if I was better prepared for this bit, then I would have an answer to that, but I don't. So let's improv it out.
Okay.
I think there was a clause in the deal he signed with the devil.
Yes. Was the father or
Courtney.
Courtney.
Courtney signed, went on down to the crossroads and met the devil and played some fiddle and won. But the deal and the contract he made was that he's the man so nice they named him twice.
Oh, that's good. So does he ever perform a woy woy and say, hey, everyone, I'm Taylor Taylor, loving myself sick in woy woy?
I bet he should have, if he hasn't yet.
I've got a little Dandy Warhol's trivial bit of trivia.
Well, let's throw it on the Dandy Warhol and pile.
I'm just having a look at their Instagram page.
Don't we all, though?
37,000 followers. That's not that much.
No, it's not.
It would have been more.
No, it's not.
I'm a bit surprised about that. They
used
say
to be friends.
They say that they're from Portland, Oregon.
That makes sense. Hmm. They seem like the sort of fellows that would come from Portlandia.
Yeah. I don't know whether I'm looking at an old photograph. Oh, I am. It's Throwback Thursday from 2005 because I was just looking at a photograph of the four of them. And I was like, they haven't changed much, and that's why.
Because it was an outdated photo. Mm. I imagine they're probably looking a little disheveled these days. But maybe not. Maybe they've maintained.
Aren't we all, though?
Speak for yourself.
Okay.
It's fucking glamorous.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Thumbs Up, whether in person, as an emoji, meme, or in the ancient Roman Colosseum. It's always a great hand gesture. No one could have predicted the success and pleasure last weekend's water tasting event could bring the town. People from near and far swarmed the convention centre looking to enjoy the subtle differences of rainwater, spring water, bottled water, boiled water that's hot, boiled water that's cold, bath water, ice water, tap water, filtered water, muddy water, toilet water and pretend water. The organisers have said that they've really tapped into something with this idea, and yes, the puns are intended, and they aim to make next year bigger and better so that the opportunities won't go down the gurgler. They said they already have a bucket load of ideas, but will take the next couple of months off to let it wash over them. Next week is the cutoff for applicants interested in taking part-time work in the scary haunted tunnels under the town. Everyone is welcome to email their resumes in. That includes ghouls, trolls, and ghosts. If you're a ghost from pre-internet era, just leave your CV written in blood on some wall. The Watchersville Cinema will be screening the director's cuts of some of the longest films ever made this Friday night. If you would like to subject yourself to such torture, tickets are available online or at the box office. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
We've got a listener email that I only just found. I don't know how I missed it, so apologies. And
did you accidentally mark it as read?
I must have. I must have. I've got a quiz for you.
Thanks.
I did suspect that, you know, I say we, but you would be exhausted after a 45-hour, it was 45 hours, right, meeting?
It was a big meeting.
So I've made an easy quiz.
Oh, I like an easy quiz.
Yeah, nice easy one. Just have a guess.
I like a quiz where you ask me a question and I have thinking time. Yeah. Where I've got the answer, but I give everyone at home a bit of a chance. And that's the equivalent of me having a break.
a little micro nap. You know what? I was very alarmed when I was listening to a quiz on another podcast.
Yes.
This week. And I know, firstly, as this is not the first time that this podcast had, they've got three guests, three hosts, I should say, and their levels were all over the shop. Like you allowed, you know, like if it was us.
That would have bothered you to know
it. I was so bothered. But then there was one bit where one of the people, they were getting prepared for the quiz, right?
Yes.
And there was just a too long an awkward silence when nothing was happening, where clearly he was either thinking or preparing or something. I was like, you can have that silence, just cut it in half.
Because
I thought there was something wrong and that my podcast had stopped.
Oh, so he's forgotten. He's not actually there to answer the quiz. He's just there to respond to the answers for you and prompt the home listener.
So inconsiderate. So an angry email will at least in my mind be sent.
Good.
And hopefully we'll get a reply later and I'll let you know.
I will be waiting here with bated breath.
Yes.
What were we talking about?
I've got no idea. Should we crack into the news?
If we could, that'd be lovely.
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, "We tweet, therefore we are." Profound and a little creepy. Follow the Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy. I promise.
Look, this is a slight spoiler warning for Fear the Walking Dead. I'm spoiling it myself because I'm a few episodes behind.
As am I.
I'm
this season behind. Yeah. Or this half season, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, look, this is the spoiler warning. Alicia has done her final episode.
Okay. We suspected this weeks ago.
I won't say too much, even though I've read the whole thing. I'll just say that there is room for her to come back if she wants to.
Sure.
But we did suspect this a couple of weeks ago as we were talking about the fact that she had been cast as the lead in a Hulu show.
Yeah.
So that's St. X. Yeah. So.
Well, they're getting Madison back and that creates dramatic tension for her of just being reunited and pulled apart again.
Yeah.
And
yeah, all that sort of stuff. So there we go. We were right. We were right.
We were right. Well done.
Yes.
Take a bow.
I would if I'm not sitting down.
But hey,
I'll do it later.
Remember a while ago we talked about how Ian McShane had been cast in a film that's filming here in Sydney very soon about the, I want to say, John Imbram. I
yep,
haven't
that's
down
right.
all the details. Called The Last King of the Cross.
King's Cross, yeah.
Yes. So unfortunately Ian McShane has had to drop out.
Oh, no.
Yes, but he's been replaced with Tim Roth.
Okay.
And I'm fucking happy with that.
That's a different casting.
That is a very different casting. But this is latter-day Tim Roth. Latter-day Tim Roth really does carry a lot of menace about him.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
He's a bit more of a loose unit rather than a simmering threat that you get with Ian McShane. Everything about him exudes danger. Whereas Tim Roth, he's quite masterful at the psychotic snap.
Yeah.
So I could see him being a very hot-headed King's Cross business mogul?
Businessman.
That's
just doing some business.
Allegedly.
Nothing to see here. Oh, that's exciting.
Good on you, Tim Roth. He's having quite a year because we're going to see him soon in the She-Hulk TV series. He's reprising his role of Emil Blonsky, a.k.a. the Abomination from the Edward Norton Hulk film.
Mm-hmm.
He also briefly appeared in Shang-Chi.
Really?
When they go into the Fight Club.
Oh,
and
yes.
Wong is fighting that big monster.
That's right.
That's Tim Roth.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that bit. I was going to say there has to be a little quip where he sees maybe Mark
mm-hmm.
as Hulk mm-hmm. and just kind of goes, you look different from when I saw you last. Yeah. You know, there's got to be that kind of thing.
Well, Abomination has mutated much further.
Okay.
And he's looking more like his comic book. The original one was like a weird, did not base off the comics or anything like that. It was just meant to be like, what if a Hulk mutation went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's meant to be now that his body, the Hulk went to one stage and stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And the only times the Hulk appearances changed is when something's happened to Bruce. Whereas Abomination is just constantly mutating. So he has like fishman ears now and a snout and he's more hunched and he's turning very reptilian. It's going to be good fun.
I was going to say poor little buddy, but poor big buddy.
Well, I think the She-Hulk series is going to do a lot of work to rehabilitate that character for when they do either Dark Avengers or Thunderbolts or whatever the team of evil bad guys secretly dressed as good guys.
Yep.
And that's where we'll see US Agent and this, you know.
Oh, yes.
These characters that they're setting up, that's where Tim Roth's.
That's your alarm.
Letting me know I need to fix parking.
Oh, right.
Fuck. Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
You're done.
Yeah.
Agonized.
I ran. I don't run.
He ran so far away.
Oh, I only run for traffic. That's my rule in life. To avoid it. Let's move on to the next news story. We're done with that.
Next news story. So this one's not necessarily super new, but I did see it over the weekend and I thought, oh, it's worth just keeping note of to talk about
that.
It. So Alexis Bledel.
Oh, of course, from bloody Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls, okay, Handmaids, yeah. She's going to leave. Well, she's already left. She's left Handmaid's Tale. She will not be in the upcoming season of what are we up to? Season 5? This is what she said, right? After much thought, I felt I had to step away from Handmaid's Tale at this time. I'm forever grateful to the blah, 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 blah. I think what she thought is she's, one, probably got some opportunities to do something else.
Yep.
And two, from what I remember of the last season, I feel like if they didn't go back to her storyline and be okay, like it kind of felt done.
So do you think it was her decision that she'd wrapped up or
I don't
it was
know.
A mutual decision?
Might have been a bit mutual.
Maybe she saw what they had in store for this season and went,
let's
cut me.
I'm not going to do
that.
Can
I be released from my
electric
contract?
Boogaloo. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So no more Emily or of Glenn. So don't even think about it as you enter the new season, which will be out sometime
so
this year.
How long did it take before speculation began for yet another Gilmore Girls reboot?
Yeah. You know what? People would watch as well. People love that show.
Yeah. Or get her on bloody Mighty Ducks.
Oh, she could be the new coach.
Yeah, she'd be an assistant.
She could be one of the mothers of like a new kid. Oh.
There you go.
We've solved it.
And she can verbally spar with Lauren all the time.
Yeah. So suddenly the Mighty Ducks script is like, it goes from like 50 pages to 220. Do we have to remember all of it? No, they'll just do it. They'll just do it together.
Star Wars celebration happened over the weekend.
Yes.
And I saw bits and pieces and I forgot to write a lot of it down, but I know that Liam Neeson is returning for the voice acting in season two of, no, in something. Maybe season two of Voices? No. Some animated spin-off.
Yeah, it was an animated one because I was like, I'm not really feeling into it. I mean, I may watch some animated stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot more of Andor coming than we expected. I believe 12 episodes this season.
Pretty
cool.
In season
two, they're already well into pre-production on.
I was not expecting that.
Another 12 episodes.
Yeah, not expecting that at all. Rosario Dawson's got short hair.
And Ahsoka has longer, I can't remember what their technical term
long
is.
Hair replacements. I don't know what to call them either.
Because they're not tentacles because they don't have feelers on them and stuff.
They just sit there. They're like
follicular appendages.
Yeah, very good. Like bits of skin that have just gone Yeah. Crazy.
Mandalorian Season 3 will be dropping in February next year. We knew it was coming. It's a little bit later than usual, yeah, but we did get Book of Boba Fett.
We did. And we're, you know, we've got Obi-Wan now, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
They also said, because you know how there was a lot of news where Kathleen Kennedy said, oh, you know, we're focusing more on the series now. We're not doing movie trilogies, but these couple of movies, we've still greenlit, they're still happening. So somebody asked her for a bit more detail about the Taika Waititi one. Mm. And she said it's coming out at the end of 2023. So that's not actually that far. But we also have no official title. I don't know any plot or where it sits in the timeline of Star Wars.
Plus, Taika's got a hell of a lot of other stuff on his plate.
Yep.
He's got to get Thor out the door.
Yep.
He's no doubt got two indie films that he's already shot somewhere else.
It's the rules.
I don't know. He was involved with Akira. I don't know if that's still happening. Well, no, Ghost in the Shell or he's just got so much stuff that he said yes to, that he's kind of suffering that same thing. I don't know if you saw, I didn't make a note of it, but here's a new story that J.J. Abrams is in a bit of hot water.
Oh, really?
Specifically with WarnerMedia. Pardon me. J.J.'s production company, Bad Robot, has deals with a lot of places across town. He's got one, I think there's one with Netflix.
I think there is, yeah.
I think there's something with Apple Plus, and there's definitely something with Warner. And that was to develop some of their DC properties, to continue looking at other stuff. I mean, he's still doing Star Wars, Trek at Paramount. Warner Brothers has a new owner. They were, I don't know, there was a corporate merger recently and they are streamlining a lot of things, and that's why a lot of the shows on the CW have been cut, all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And they basically turned around and gone, J.J. Abrams, we gave you $250 million and you've yet to produce anything for us. Ooh. It's been years. Stop pushing us to the back of the queue. What's going on, mate?
Yeah, that's a bit rough. That's a bit rough.
And fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, he's excited now because Bad Robot is developing a Hot Wheels property. Hot Wheels, you know, the toy cars.
Yeah. Yep.
The Barbie script is apparently one of the hottest things in Hollywood.
Is it really?
It's so strong, apparently.
That's the one with Margot Robbie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So why do you think he has seemingly been unwilling to do anything about this $250 million deal until now they're really pushing him?
I'm trying to think of a tactful way to say this, because no one I know will listen to this. He's connected to a previous career and stuff that I had, but J.J. Abrams is excellent at starting a story, and finishing a story is not his strong suit. And back in the day when it was network television and you were creating shows designed to live 6+ years to hit, hit that magical 100-episode rerun number, that style of writing was great, whereas so many of the streaming services are now looking for 8 to 13-episode limited series.
Yep.
So I imagine that's part of the thing. I think as well, and this is – I don't have any – solid evidence.
It's just you having a guess.
Things at Warner, specifically DC, have been an absolute shit show since about 2016. And I bet there's just constant moving pieces on him. And they don't know what tone they want from their films. They recut that first Suicide Squad movie because people liked the trailer that got made by a trailer company, and they chopped and changed the movie to match the trailer. So from a creative standpoint, I imagine that he faced a lot of roadblocks and issues and things. But also, mate, $250 million, you make it work.
Yeah.
Come on, mate.
Yeah. It does sound like they've been put on the back burner, like they said. It does sound like that.
Yeah.
That's
Anyway, that's a bit rough. Watch that one, because it's legitimately causing big waves, because he's one of the big power players in Hollywood and all these production deals he has in place, this could set a precedent for things moving forward, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for us as watchers.
Yes.
I also saw this over the last couple of days, that Top Gun Maverick is doing pretty well over in the US. They have just had their Memorial Day long weekend, so a lot of people went off and went to the movies, enjoyed checking it out. The movie made, just in the US, $156 million in its first 4 days. This actually overtook Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean, A World's End, which just under $153 million, and that was in 2007. So it's been a while catching up to that. And I just think it's absolutely wild that you've got this happening couple of years after COVID.
Yeah.
It's just wild. It's also Tom Cruise's biggest box office debut ever. And
it also opened on the most screens of any film in history, yeah, in like America.
4,000 something, I think it was.
A stupid amount, like more than a Marvel movie. Didn't make Marvel money.
But this is exactly why he said no.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
Can't put it on streaming.
Yeah, this is an event. This is exactly why.
Yeah, good on him.
Yeah.
It's cool to see a legacy sequel that's not phoned in any way. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but everyone I have seen it has gone, it's great. You'd love it, Tom. And then I'd say, does it matter that I don't like the first Top Gun much? And they go, oh, well, you're a male between 30 and 45. How could you not love the first Top Gun? Mm. Well, when I think of Top Gun, I think of beach volleyball. I don't know why, but it's a fucked up thing in my head that's, I don't think of awesome fighter pilot action. I think of
beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball.
Okay.
And making out.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a bit in that movie for everyone. Isn't that's it? All that Isn't that
it?
Tells
so I'm
me.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's a great movie. It's just not one that I reach for. So I will see that. I'm not racing to see that at cinemas. I'll be happy to watch that at home, even though I'm sure it's an experience.
Oh, what an experience.
Jurassic World comes out next week. I'm good. That's what I'm keeping my night off for.
That's the one you're picking.
Oh, and next Thursday night I'm going to see bloody Penn and Teller.
Oh.
My dad got me tickets for my birthday and they're playing at Sydney Opera House, first ever tour of Australia.
How hope they catch someone fun. In house. I've got one more news story. Have you got
I got one more news story and a trailer.
All right. Well, why don't you go first?
All right. Story. So I'm sure we've talked a bit about before, but there's a video game coming from Warner Brothers called Multiverses, and this is their take on a Super Smash Brothers style thing using all their properties. So think
good idea.
The Space Jam 2, how it smooshed everyone together.
Yep.
A trailer came out a few weeks ago that featured Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. In his ultimate form, teamed up with Batman fighting against Arya Stark and Bugs Bunny.
You could be forgiven for thinking that that is an absolutely insane idea, but might I remind you that Fortnite exists and therefore this precedent is not strange.
That's it.
Now.
And when you see it in action, you know, Arya's moves have been made more cartoony and she's been brought up. But she's still talking about dark shit and still dealing with dark shit.
Yeah.
Whereas Shaggy's bothered by it all and jumps into Batman's arms to be protected and then gets pissed off and turns into the meme of I didn't even use 1% of my power. Anyway, someone has data mined some of the files for the game and found some listings for probable future DLC characters.
Yep.
One that is not in a fighting game, surprising, but in a cartoon fighting game with a lot of children's characters, it's very weird, is Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Get over here. He's the guy that throws spiked chains out of his wrists that pull people in closer. Also, he died hundreds of years ago, and he's actually a demon that refuses to move on in hell. So that's Scorpion. That's not the surprising character.
Oh, okay.
You know who's... has no point being in this game, and I can't think of what his moves are other than blowing a whistle and having other people come and do his fight. Ted Lasso.
I did. All right. Yep. That is not in a million years would I have ever
been
able to
pick
that
one. Is he going to blow the
whistle
and Roy Kent's going to come on and go, oi, fucker, at someone? Or,
wow, that's okay.
This game looks weird. Great fun. I'm super into it, but like...
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of picture him in like the old Mortal Kombat style where it was actual, actual
no,
humans.
No, cartoonified version of Ted Lasso. There's no imagery or anything of him yet, but there you go. How about that?
That's okay.
Multiverses.
I think I need to watch the trailer now because the context.
Check out the trailer, and there's I think alpha or open beta is on at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So you could even go and have a bit of a play.
Oh, all right. Maybe I will. Now I said it earlier, but Stranger Things season 4 is out, and there's so much 80s music in it. Like Netflix must have spent a lot of money, a lot of that budget, sure, on getting the copyright to throw some of these classic 80s songs in there. It's kind of working for some of the people from the 80s who released music back then, because in one episode, I think it was the first one actually, Max is walking down a high school corridor with her Walkman on and she's listening to a song. And it's Kate Bush's 1985 song, Running Up That Hill. Because of the show, because it's in the show, that song from 1985 is now number one on iTunes charts.
Sure, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I look at the iTunes chart every couple of days because I go and look for new music. And,
yeah.
And you can always tell when either The Voice has a new season.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or if there's a 80s nostalgia show pumping stuff out because they're suddenly like, why the fuck is Dragon number 8?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, they also released the Stranger Things soundtrack on there as well, so that's going quite well. But interestingly enough, it did manage to crack the top 30 Billboard charts over in the US. Didn't make it to number one, but I think that's pretty impressive because iTunes is one ecosystem where Billboard's is one country's single sale.
Is that Kate Bush's highest charting? Because I don't imagine she was much of a chart threat back in the day.
And she's from England too, so she probably was bigger over there than in the US.
I know stunningly little about Kate Bush other than the fact that when I went to university, I didn't even know that. All three lesbians that I was friends with were big fans of Kate Bush.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so okay.
I'm sure she's nothing like Arnie DeFranco, but they've melded together in my mind.
That's a name I haven't heard since
I got dragged to a concert of her. I told you about the night I saw Bob Dylan. She opened for Bob Dylan. That was slog of a fucking evening for me.
Yeah, I could see those two musically being together. I can't see you there, though. You must have gone to the loo a lot or, you know, gone out to get a drink of water or for a lot.
It's not my favourite night.
It's not your thing. You've got a trailer?
I've got a trailer. So it's only the one brief one, but, boy, it made me smile. There's a new television series coming to Netflix June 24th starring Rowan Atkinson.
Oh.
I believe it's created by him and all sorts of stuff. But it's called Man vs. Bee.
As in
yes.
Okay.
And he plays a guy who seems quite down on his luck and he gets a job house-sitting a mansion. And the trailer shows that when he arrives to start and the family leaves, as he's shutting the door, a bee flies in. And he goes to swat the bee and accidentally knocks over some priceless artwork. And it just looks like a 6-episode version of Talking Mr. Bean, of him trashing this house. And then there's points of him being interrogated by cops.
Oh, my gosh.
So things are going to escalate. Yeah. But it looks like Mr. Bean doing a version of Mouse Hunt or one of those type movies of capable, exasperated human being outsmarted by tiny rodent.
By a bee.
But this is by bee.
That does sound very Mr. Bean, which is kind of why I was like, oh, do you mean B as in the letter?
Man
it's
versus
an actual
B.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So where's that coming? Just
Netflix.
Huh.
It's a Netflix production and everything.
That'll be a lot of fun. I reckon families will enjoy watching that because kids discover Mr. Bean on YouTube these days.
Well, that's funny that you should say that because that leads me into my bloody fun fact.
Aww.
I've gotten some facts about Bean the movie, which is a movie I will go to my grave defending to anyone. That film has some fucking gold highlights.
Can you just give me a quick... Is that the one with the artwork?
Yes, he comes to LA.
Yeah,
there's
that's
the fancy
right.
gallery opening. Peter McNichol. Is the, what's his name? David Langley, I wrote down. He's your first bloody fun fact. Steve Martin is a massive self-confessed, huge fan of Mr. Bean. He wanted that role and was campaigning. Peter Nichol got it. On the flip side, the producers were initially looking for an unknown actor to play General Newton. It's not a huge role, but being a big fan of Mr. Bean as well, Burt Reynolds got in contact with the production when he heard that they were making a film and asked to be in the film, asked for any role.
Didn't care.
Yep.
That's so cool. Then
cast in that role. But my final fun fact, and you're talking about how people re-find it and stuff all the time, Mr. Bean, the movie, is the most watched movie in Finland in 1997. Nearly 500,000 people saw it in theatres, which for the population of that country is a huge amount.
Yeah.
And it's just he crosses over. There's no language barrier.
You don't need any. Yeah, you can just watch it. And I just love the visual that I have of Steve Martin and Burt Reynolds independently in their mansions just getting out the Mr. Bean VHS VHS and going –
popping it in.
I'm going to have a watch of this one. And do you remember if you bought them, they were in different colours?
Yes.
So you got, I can't remember how many episodes, you got a certain amount of episodes in each one. And you're like, should I go the green, the red or the blue one today?
You just know there was a moment where Burt Reynolds was like, he's got a turkey on his head. You know?
Yeah.
Everything about that's just wonderful. And how could they not? Rowan Atkinson, for my money, is one of those people that's scaled the comedic heights and doesn't have much else to prove.
No.
So if he wants to do a weird passion project thing like this where it's clearly he spent 4 months filming slapstick chasing a bee around a mansion and a CGI bee at that, go for it. If Mike Myers can make a wank project like his thing.
I was going to say, it's a bit like that. I also – it kind of made me think about that 1960s film called The Party. It was Peter Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
It would never be made today as it was because Peter Sellers was playing an Indian.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it would never be made. But he hardly spoke, so it was very Mr. Bean-ish in that a lot of the stuff was all physical humour. I reckon if you just have Rowan Atkinson playing a Mr. Bean sort of character, they could recreate The Party today.
Today.
Today. They could do that very easily.
Wow, I haven't thought of that in a while.
Memories.
Champ.
All right. We've got a listener email coming up very soon. I'm not quite sure how helpful we're going to be with the question, but we're going to see how we go. I've got a quiz for you where you're going to have to answer a whole heap of questions, but let's get into some watching suggestions.
Da 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 da. Shove that in your eye hole.
Shouldn't it be ear hole?
Nah.
Okay. Oh, because if you shove it in your ear hole, then they can't hear.
That's it. It's going to be blocked unless you get one of them new Sony Link buds.
What are they?
Oh, these little headphones got like a donut hole in the middle.
Is that so you can listen?
They sit right inside your ear. You know how I love all my, like, what are you called? I got those sunglasses that have got the speakers on the outside and the rest of the bone.
Yep.
Well, this is like that. So it's conduction, but it sits inside your ear cavity.
Hmm.
And they're really low profile, so you can wear them for sleeping and stuff. But the one that sits over your ear hole is like a donut. And so it's got a hole in the middle so you can hear all conversations, or if you're on your bike, you can hear all the traffic.
Yeah, cool.
Bloody awesome. I think they were designed for people Zooming at home while parenting.
Oh, yeah. Right. Pandemic really does come up with some things, some inventions. Have you got them yet?
Tomorrow. I'm going out to find them tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, not tomorrow, next week you can give us a nice little review. Yep. Nice review of that.
But this week we'll talk about what we've watched.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you watched, Leah?
I have been saying it, but I have been watching Stranger Things.
Tell us about
season it. Season 4. You know, in my mind, I was like, gosh, that was a long time ago since I watched season 3. And it's because it was a long time ago that season 3 came out.
What's it been,
4 years? Oh, feels like more. But, yeah, I think, no.
Three.
Oh, I think it's 3 years. 3 years it's been. But it's genuinely been a long time. And it's a long time when you've got actors who are teenagers, because suddenly some of them
aren't.
Are very, very tall now.
Yeah, sure.
And they look just as old as their older siblings in the show. Also, trying to remember who's who, and there are little bits where, like, for example, Max, I was like, oh, that's right. Max, that's right, I forgot about Max. She was introduced last season. Her brother was the lifeguard in season three at the pool during summer. And this season, I've only watched two episodes because
they
warned us? They were like, some of these are movie length. Now, the two that I've watched were just under movie length, so they're maybe an hour 15 kind of
That's
thing.
Still very long.
Very, very long.
That's an animated movie length.
It's also a really bad Hallmark Christmas movie length.
Sure.
But so what's happened is summer is finished and Winona Ryder and Eleven and, you know, Will have all gone over to California to live, and the rest of them are in Hawkins. Will's kind of used to being a bit of the school nerd that no one wants to talk to. You know, he's very lucky that he had that group that of main characters that we know.
Yep.
But now that he is not anywhere near them, he's struggling a little bit. But Elle is very much struggling. You know, she's trying to just be a normal person. She's getting bullied by the cool kids.
Guys.
You know what she tried to do? She tried to do her 11 magic on them. It didn't work, so all she looked like was somebody frowning and doing a hand gesture in their direction, making the whole bullying even worse. So my question is, what's wrong with her powers? Do they not work outside of Hawkins? Is that what the thing is? What's going on? All will be revealed, I'm sure. But you've got some of them who have joined the basketball team who are now sort of in the cool group, but you've still got the core guys there who want to continue doing their Dungeons & Dragons stuff. And then there's a weird murder.
A murder?
Almost every bone in this body has been broken. How has this been happening? Well, of course, it's a weird demon on the other side, the upside down world.
Someone's got boneitis.
Exactly. So that's kind of where it's going in that direction. You also get a little bit of, at least within the first couple of episodes, a little bit of a taste as to what happened to Hopper.
Yep. Yep.
Or what is happening to Hopper, and it's kind of what
Everyone thought
it was going to be. Yeah, exactly. So I'm just enjoying being back in that world. This season is broken up because
it's big.
And also Netflix, I think, has realized if you just episode dump, people talk about it for 2 weeks and then forget about it. So
how many episodes have you got left in the season?
How many do I have? Let me have a look, actually. That's a really good question. All right, so there's 7 episodes so far.
7 episodes so far. All
right.
There's
one here that's 98 minutes long.
That's short. No, that's long.
I mean, it's short for a big Marvel movie, but yeah. So Stranger Things. I'm not going to rush it. I'm not going to binge it at all. I'm just going to maybe watch one a week.
Sure.
It's big.
It's big. Well, you know, I'm not normally one for binging.
Yeah.
But I binged a show last week that I'm talking about, but I also want to remind everyone that this Friday, two shows that I'm very excited are coming out, and I don't know which one to binge first. Netflix has Floor is Lava season 2 dropping on Friday. Amazon has The Boys season 3.
Oh, well, that, I mean.
I mean, there's no question where I'm going to start. Of course I'm going to watch The Boys first.
Of course, and also dictates, that Floor is Lava dictates who you're watching it with.
Correct.
Right? Like you have to watch that with the family. Yeah.
And The Boys, we get 3 episodes Friday and then 1 episode
each week.
Whereas Floor is Lava, they'll just do the season dump.
Get them all out.
Oh. But the thing that I watched all in one go, and it was something that I intended to do piecemeal, was Friday, the new season, well, not the news, Shawzy launched, which is the spin-off from Letterkenny. It's also on Hulu in the States. I think we'll be getting it here in SBS and SBS On Demand. If it's not up already, it will be by this Friday.
Yeah, great.
6 episodes, all 6 episodes dropped at once. pardon me. So Shawzy is a very ancillary character on Letterkenny. He is one of the hockey players.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually played by the star's creator, main star, writer, executive producer.
Okay, yep.
The guy behind it all. Mm-hmm. But he only ever appears Dickie Knee style from behind with a hat on. And he does what's called chirping, which we call sledging. In cricket, you sledge someone is when you talk shit about them, throw them off their game. He's the master of chirping. So how they were going to spin this horrible character off. He claims to have hooked up with everyone's mum in like very, very detailed Oh, he's like, and he's the writing cast. Is so good.
Yeah.
Like someone, fuck you. Like someone's like, fuck you, Shawsy. He's like, fuck you. I made your mum so wet that Justin Trudeau had to organise a 24-hour emergency hotline raising awareness so people could pay for sandbags around my bed. So he talks in a falsetto, right. And that's on Letterkenny. The only difference between him and Wayne, the character he plays, is him talking in falsetto and not seeing the camera. So how they were going to spin this character off into a TV show and make it anything worthwhile was a real question.
Mm.
And holy shit, they did it. Letterkenny feels a lot of the time like sketches stitched together, and we're following a huge sprawling cast of characters. Yep. And there is overarching story that happens throughout, but it's more character development. Whereas, so they take 3 minutes before they reveal Shawsy's face, and the dude's had one of his front teeth ripped out on purpose for the role. And has,
oh, I would never.
And has chewing tobacco in his bottom lip. And he's grown a bit of a beard. And I'm not kidding, you can't see
really?
Wayne in there. That's the so other funny. Character is gone. And he's carrying himself, because Wayne's all about big and, you know, yep. he's a good country boy, shirt tucked in, good posture, stand up tall, eyes squinting all the time, being disdainful. Shorty's down here, he's talking about, fuck you, what? He's angry about everything and fired up and this sort of stuff. So the physicality is the first thing. You're like, this is really different. But then... this show is one story, and it's like a brilliant mix of Slapshot and Mighty Ducks and Goon and every good hockey movie you've ever seen. But the part where it really works, and I did not expect this at all, is it's kind of the anti-Ted Lasso. So Ted Lasso is all about, we're going to use the power of positivity and we're going to support each other. I'm going to teach you guys the value of friendship and teamship and mateship. And Shawsy's deal is... I like to win, but I fucking hate losing. And that's the guiding principle of the show. Now, the big thing is that the team owner has told them that they're doing that poorly, that they're going to fold. And Shawsy says, no, we're not. We're never going to lose again. And they're like, yeah, whatever. And that becomes the driving motivator of the show, never lose again, which is such a weird thing to think about. But every sports movie is win, don't lose. And this is never lose again. It's not we're here to win. It's we don't lose.
We just don't.
So it's not all about being the best players on the ice.
Yeah.
It's about how can you fuck with your opponent beforehand and cause a riot.
Or, forfeit.
Yes.
How
can you win by forfeit? He's pulling all this shit behind the scenes. So there's like, it's weirdly an element of like Breaking Bad, if you're watching a serious anti-hero, not great person, still doing some good things. And most of the ladies throughout the show and stuff he's very flirty with, but he's just his normal Shawsy. And there's this one sports journalist that he's enamored with that he just turns into the softest guy. Oh, man, I would treat you so good. You have no idea. You know, you'd wake up in the morning, I'd just be there looking and treating you good. All this,
amazing.
The character development by the end is great. He adopts a position of leadership, but not in that normal way of he's been through the hero's journey, he's ready to step up.
Yeah.
This is reluctant to the end.
Oh,
so good.
So is this the end of this, or will be more?
It does have an end note where it could wrap up, but I don't know. It has been it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's
leave it open enough.
It's been critically adored, and everyone's going like, "Holy shit!" We knew everyone from Letterkenny was clever, but these guys have like. Flipped the standardized sports film template and created this thing about a fucking scumbag. And by the end, you're cheering him on, even though he's the bad guy.
Yeah. Wow.
You never watch a sports movie where you cheer the villain.
Yeah.
You might support them for a bit, but by the end, you've always got to be, our team of underdogs have gone in this.
Yeah.
This guy's just a shit. He's just scum, and it's and you end up caring him for him by the end, and you understand his motivations, and there is some flashback stuff, so you see why he is the way he
character development.
It's all this show is. It's just how do we take the most throwaway, as I say, dicky knee,
yep,
dumb puppet character that comes in, says a few lines and disappears.
Yeah.
And then they made this immensely compelling thing that, oh, and the music's so good. There's so much dubstep and like weird Canadian super indie bands. And
So Tegan and Sarah, too well known.
Far too, too well known. If you're a fan of Death from Above 1979, these guys are your jam because Shawzy uses them twice, maybe three times, and Letterkenny they're on like four or five times. It's really good Canadian. They've got, it's a drummer and a bass guitarist. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Do they sing?
Yeah. And they go fucking insane.
White Stripes, they were drummer and
guitarist.
Just guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, and a lot of this, you know, a lot of their stuff is play the bass line, use a looping pedal, and then play a guitar part, but still on the bass over the top.
Yep, yep, yep.
And all their music sounds like they're about to come off the rails, and that's perfectly fitting for this show. It just constantly feels like things are about to topple into depravity.
Amazing. And then, you know, if they do get into a second season, which they could play more of them and maybe just a touch of Dandy Warhols.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd be nice. Well, look, Letterkenny season 11 is already filmed and in the can. Cool. We don't know when that's coming, but it will be coming soon.
Jeez, they've been busy. 11 seasons, far out.
They pump out at least two a year.
Busy, plus busy specials. People.
They just did an International Women's Day special back in March, which was
very really good. Okay.
It was very, very funny. Perfect. They had a beauty contest for the women and only the women were allowed to attend. And they told the men it was a beauty contest, but it was the least beautiful contest. So who's done the scummiest thing? And who can tell the worst, most disgusting story that makes the other person dry retch?
Oh, I like that.
Oh, it's
nothing like a comedic dry retch.
Oh, it's just the opposite of what International Women's Day is about to be about.
Look, there's another show that we both watched and watched two episodes of.
We did.
Obi-Wan. Listen, you said to me just before we started recording, you said it does rely heavily on you having watched the prequels.
I actually said enjoying the prequels.
Oh, enjoying the prequels. Yeah, right.
Sorry to correct you. Yeah, but right, I think there's a distinction there. Now, we were in that context, we were discussing with Nathaniel. We should point out that Nathaniel is, what, 10 more years younger than either of us?
Very young man.
He's a young man, so he's much more in that prequel wheelhouse.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, episode one came out when I was 16.
You went and watched the prequels with your mates.
I did.
No parents involved. Just went with your mates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a very direct continuation. Well, not direct. It's 10 years after the events of Revenge of the Sith.
Which is one that I haven't seen for years and years and years. And I
have the high ground.
I said, I think this is the first ever Star Wars anything where you've had an actual recap. And I'm really glad that they did. They did a recap of the prequels.
And it was great. And I'm seriously tempted that when Shay finally says, I want to watch Star Wars, that...
You're going to do that order?
I don't know.
It's a tough call, isn't it?
It's a tough call because I just want to start with episode four.
Yeah, because it's the best, hooks people in.
But it's like, you know... Do you jumpstart things and just show that bit of recap?
Mm.
Probably not, though.
You're right. You could just what you could.
I'm kind
just watch
of tempted
recap.
To start with Rogue One. Like, imagine that. Imagine how cheeky that would be. Starting the series, the film ends with Vader busting through the door, and then you start the true series with Vader kicking ass.
That's very good. Oh, so many wonderful options for people who have never seen Star Wars to ask. Oh,
but I would not recommend Obi-Wan as the place to start watching Star Wars.
No.
Even though it has a recap, the recap is great. It relies.
You need to be a Star Wars fan, absolutely. I also say, at least for me, having played Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order really helped as well because that's all about a Jedi hiding from the Inquisitors.
There's a lot of talk about a second one coming along for that soon and that he may pop up on one of the shows.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, he was the Joker on Gotham.
Yeah.
He's so good at that.
So good. And that will be interesting because where is Obi-Wan in the timeline of, you know, for Fallen Order? Because they're both around the same time.
I saw as well that Lego are bringing out a BD-1, which is the little robot.
Such a great little, such a great little character. Super helpful.
Nice.
Gives what you know, whatever you want. He's willing to throw off your back. But Ewan, one thing I noticed, and I thought it was really funny, is that my memory of the prequels, particularly Phantom Menace, it was like, isn't that amazing? Ewan McGregor is doing Alec Guinness's voice.
Yeah,
he's doing the voice in this one. He's not. He's just doing the accent.
It's the yes.
It's only the accent.
First, it was. You're right. Yeah. He started off doing an imitation. And now it is much more lived in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We, I don't want to give away the surprise of the character that he's helping because I feel like.
It's important. We don't need to give it away, but it is important.
It is important.
I'm definitely sensing a theme with the Marvel Disney TV shows though.
Go on.
Well, it's a spoiler thing, but it's.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah, absolutely.
Save the.
But I also think. You know how there has been talk, and we've spoken about it, that Star Wars doesn't necessarily have to have a Jedi in it?
Yep.
I think maybe it does.
Kind of does.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be the main character, but there has to be a Jedi in it because that Star Wars universe, that force is so important in who's good and bad.
Look, it's no different to discussing Ronin in Japanese culture or the knight who'd come in and save the day and this sort of stuff. It's that heroic ideal of a character, virtuous good. If you want to bring it back to D&D, you can throw out your different attributes and stuff like that. It's always going to be up in that, you know, nowhere near any chaotic business.
Yeah.
Lawful good.
Yeah, lawful good.
And you need lawful good characters in order for the scum and villainy, which is my fascination with Star Wars, for them to have a natural counterbalance.
It's the Force.
That's right. You've got to have the positivity in there. There were some great cameos.
Yeah,
great
cameos.
Reappearances. One cameo that I don't mind spoiling. Did you recognize who the beggar was? At one point, there was a beggar on the ground who said, "Can you spare a few coins for a veteran?"
I don't remember that person.
It's Tamura.
Really?
Well, he's the basis for all the clones.
Very cool.
This is how throwaway it was. And he was under a huge big beard. And they clearly just come across one day while filming Boba Fett and jumped on set. But it was the most throwaway moment. Cool. But I'm like, that is beautiful canon because you've got stormtroopers walking around and these are the new stormtroopers who are human.
They're humans, Well, not
that. He is the discarded previous model. And the ones that we followed up to this point are like in the Bad Batch and this sort of stuff. So to see one who's just abandoned as a veteran laying on the ground is
lots happened in that universe, hasn't it?
Can I say something that might be a touch controversial?
Go on.
Have you noticed that Star Wars TV shows, the best episodes are always directed by women?
I have noticed that.
Why is that just not how it should be moving forward?
Because whenever you see that, like Deborah.
Yep.
But whenever you see Dallas, you're like, okay, this is going to be good.
It's going to be a good episode. We've got a lot to cover.
Deborah Cho did both of them, right?
She did.
Yeah. Is she doing the whole season?
I don't think series? So. I don't think Star Wars will stick to one director whole series.
Mm.
But showrunners generally will direct at least a pilot and premiere. Cool.
To give it the context, the tone. Yeah. I think this is a lovely show already for a Star Wars fan. I think it's lovely. Maybe in comparison to Boba Fett, because Boba Fett didn't really hit its marks. It was a very jumbled series.
Disney are getting a wringing every dollar out of that massive Tatooine set that they've built.
Oh, my gosh.
I've used it so many times. And between this and Loki, I have seen more than enough badly dimly lit chases through neon.
Yeah, Blade Runner-like. Yeah, yes. Totally. At least this one, there's reason for it to be on Tatooine. Like it's an intrinsic part of that series. But if Ahsoka is on Tatooine for more than one episode, I'll be like, get her off. When is she? I don't know. I haven't seen the animated thing, but.
Did you see the other day someone like straight up asked Hayden Christensen if he's going to be in her show? And he just went,
Oh, no.
Like, as in, don't ask me that. I'm clearly in there.
Hayden, can you just do a bit of acting now, please? That's so funny. Classic. Yes, so I'm going to enjoy watching that once a week. A nice, I think it's enough once a week for Mr. Obi-Wan, and find out where it's going. I think it's going to get a bit dark.
I think so.
I've heard bits of tone of where people say this is your dark one.
Oh, look, we haven't dealt with it much yet, but there's got to be a lot of PTSD.
Definitely, yeah.
And survivor's guilt and sort of stuff.
For sure. All right, time for a listener email. I do apologise because this is from the very end of April and I missed it.
Oh, so long. It's listener snail mail.
So see how you go with this question.
Mm.
Hello, my name is Robert and I'm from the USA. I listen to your podcast all the time and I love it. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
That's really nice. I wanted to know if you both can help me find out the name of a movie.
All right.
I was reading all of these free movies to watch on my TV, and this one sounded so good. It was about a woman that gets trapped in a diner in a parallel world. It's not the movie Coherence, but this one's about a group of friends that are at a diner party in a parallel world. And I forget the name of the movie and I can't find it now. And I was wondering if you guys could both help me out. Thanks for the time. Does that ring any bells to you? A parallel universe, a group of friends trapped in a diner?
Trapped in a diner? No, I'm trying to go through my head parallel universe word. Well, John dies at the end and there's a lot of that's in a diner.
Could be that.
Could be that. But
it's really weird. When I started reading this, it's not a parallel world, but do you remember there was a movie in the 90s and it was about a group of friends who were having a dinner party and either one of them is accidentally murdered or...
Shallow Grave?
Something like that. And they're all like, oh, my God, what do we do? But they continue to have their dinner party.
Yeah, that's a Danny Boyle movie, isn't it? Wasn't it?
That's it.
With Ewan.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is a film that has not even entered my brain until reading this email. It's definitely, Robert, it's not that film, but parallel world. Let's have a think about it. Maybe we'll have a moment of clarification.
I'm going to cheat for a second and see if I can see something online.
Just having a look on Twitter.
So he says it's not the movie Coherence.
No.
Because eight friends at a dinner party experience a troubling chain of events due to the malevolent influence of a passing comet. There is a film from 2019 called The Echo Worlds. In 1986, after an accident drops them in a parallel world, a tech wizard teen, diner server and temperamental Frenchman joined forces to find a way home while being handled by a wicked and relentless force. I don't think that's it. Doesn't sound like Friends.
There's a movie from 1987 called Blood Diner. Oh. Two brothers are entrusted by their uncle to uphold the ritualistic cannibalism of an ancient cult. In order to do so, they have to prepare a feast of sacrifice for the resurrection of their goddess. I'm going to say that's not it.
If you like Coherence, it throws out Predestination, Time Lapse, Synchronic, which is great, plus one. I don't think we're going to solve this right now, Leah.
That's all right. Okay.
Sorry, Robert.
That's
or
a
should
tough
we
one.
Call you Bobbert?
In your parallel universe world.
Are you the good Robert or the you mirrorverse evil Robert asking?
I remember in the first, I think it was the first Tomb Raider, and I'm sure I've said this before, but there's a point where you walk into this chamber and there's an alien-looking character on the other side.
Ooh.
And you move and it moves. And then you move and it moves and you realize it's mirroring every single move you're making. And then you get right up close to it. It's this weird, like, skinless version of Lara.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really creepy. So I thought that was the evil Lara. Well, maybe Lara is the evil one. She's the one that goes through destroying tombs after all. Tom, are you ready for a quiz?
I'm going to let this go in a moment.
Well, What if it was a really bad film?
Oh, I don't know. No, I'm not going to find it. I'm not going to find it, but I am going to enjoy a quiz. So, okay. Sorry, Robert. Oh, this is going to eat me alive.
Oh, no. We've started something. All right. Quiz time.
Quiz.
Very easy one for you today. I did promise an easy one.
You did.
It's called Who's Taller, the Couples Edition.
Oh, okay. All right. Are we talking with or without high heels?
Without.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman or Tom Cruise?
Oh, Nicole Kidman.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I know I meant to pause for a moment.
Don't worry. Everybody knows that.
Let's not disrespect all our listeners.
You think about – everybody can picture the photographs
so
of them.
I understand the concept of the game.
197 centimetres versus 170. So it's a 9-centimetre difference. That's quite a lot. What about Tom Holland and Zendaya?
Well, Tom Holland is – we'll say fun-sized.
Good.
If you're going to label him a chocolate bar, he'd be fun-sized.
Very, very good.
She's a bit more of a standard snack size.
Mm.
So I'm going to go with Zendaya is taller than Tom Holland.
Correct. Whilst she is the same height at 179 centimetres as Nicole Kidman, Tom Holland is a little taller than Tom Cruise. Just realised there's a lot of Toms involved in this quiz. He is 173 centimetres.
On a good day.
Do we want to go a little bit different? Do we want to mix it up a bit? What about Prince William and Princess Kate? Or what Kate, the one he's married to.
The one he's married to.
Is she a princess?
I don't know.
Duchess? Come on. Kate Middleton.
Give us a referendum. Let's piss
them
off.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm so pre when they got married. I'm all about Diana and Charles.
Fuck them off.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm married to a Brit that fled because she hates monarchy.
Wow.
So.
Why'd she move to the Commonwealth?
Sorry.
That's the side. We're getting so sidetracked. I only need you to tell me who's taller.
Is Prince William wearing a hat?
No. So it's bald. Bald head.
I think he might then still be just taller, a hair.
He's quite tall, 191 centimetres. What are you in centimetres?
187,
okay.
Something like that.
He is quite tall. And Kate Middleton is 175. So she's no Zendaya and Nicole Kidman, but she's getting up there.
Pretty tall.
Getting up there. More Toms.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks or Rita Wilson?
Ooh.
Because it's hard, right? At least with the others, you're like, okay, I can picture them in photographs, you know, on red carpets or whatever.
But Tom Hanks, part of his appeal is as America's dad and everyman
is that
he just blends in.
He's everyman.
So he's not a giant. And anyone who's not a giant in Hollywood is shorter than you'd expect because, is she taller?
No.
Oh.
But you're right. He's 183. That's just very, you know.
That's still 6'1".
That's right. Yeah, okay. But she is 172, so she still beats Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So that's good. Neil Patrick Harris and David Boetker, his husband. Who's taller? Once again, you got to try and picture red carpet photos, figure out which one looked taller.
Because he's not a massive fella. But... maybe it's because I'm thinking of him next to Jason Segel.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, he's a very tall guy, very tall. And Ted, I can't remember the name.
Josh Radnor.
He just looks average height, right? Yeah. Thank you for the name of the actor.
Oh, that's okay.
I was never going to get it.
I don't know why I knew it.
Neil or David, who's taller?
I'm going to go with Neil.
Yeah, he is. 183 centimetres, so the same as Tom Hanks. And David is 179, making him a Nicole and Zendaya height.
You know, that's funny. I almost said, are they the same height? I thought you were going to try and stump me with one of those.
We've got a final one. Once again, just trying to make sure that it's a difficult one to picture on a red carpet. Kurt Russell or Goldie Hawn, which one is taller?
Oof. Oh, now Kurt Russell's got that big head.
He's got hair as well. Like it's got bouffant of hair, doesn't he?
Mm.
Good hair.
And Goldie's not. She's quite a petite lady.
She's not known for being tall, is she?
No. She's pocket size. Is she a pocket rocket? That's
would you say she's like a Kylie Minogue or is
she might be a bit bigger than a Kylie Minogue.
A bit taller, I was meant to say.
I was going to say, what the hell is a Kylie? But I'm very here for it. I like that we're making up our own language. The first one, Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, 180 centimetres. And Goldie is taller than I thought. She's 168, which is not tall. But I thought, like you, I thought she was a very shorter person. But apparently you've got to have a pretty big pocket to put Goldie Hawn in it. I've always said that. Well done.
Thanks.
I think you got all but two.
Do you reckon Tom Cruise ever tries to do his run while he's wearing his height shoes?
Oh, yeah.
He'd own shoes with a bit of a boost.
Oh, yeah. Come on,
Goldie Hawn.
Good on you, Goldie.
And Kate Hudson too.
Mm.
You can come for the ride.
She's quite good at doing movies as well.
Mm.
She's got a lot of them under her belt. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.